So I'm delighted that you're on the call, and this is going to be a business coaching call, in which we're going to talk business, and we're going to have fun, because we're going to deal with one of my favorite subjects, which is the eyes of an entrepreneur, the eyes of an entrepreneur. What do entrepreneurs see that other people do not? What are entrepreneurs looking for that other people are not? And this is an important subject for you if entrepreneurship is your chosen route to riches and your chosen route to financial independence, financial security, stability, and success and significance. If entrepreneurship is your chosen route, then you will need to develop the eyes of an entrepreneur. You will need to develop your entrepreneurial senses so that you can see things that entrepreneurs see, and you can hear the things that they hear, and you can speak an entrepreneurial language. But tonight we're going to deal with the eyes of an entrepreneur. What do entrepreneurs see? What do successful entrepreneurs see that other people do not? What are they looking for that other people are not? Perhaps the main difference between an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, and a basic employee is their vision, their sight, what they can see and what they are looking for. So what I'm going to give you tonight are the seven things that entrepreneurs see that other people do not see, the seven things that entrepreneurs are looking for that other people are not looking for. So here goes. Number one, entrepreneurs see and look for problems. Woo! Problems. However, entrepreneurs don't refer to them as problems. They call them opportunities. Entrepreneurs refer to problems as opportunities. So whereas most people are running away from problems, entrepreneurs are running towards them because they see them as opportunities. Every problem presents an opportunity to create value in the form of a solution. Every problem is an opportunity because it presents an opportunity to create value in the form of a solution. So entrepreneurs are looking for problems. That's actually where entrepreneurship starts. Authentic entrepreneurship starts with a problem that has been framed as an opportunity. So are you looking for opportunities? And what will an opportunity look like when you find it? The opportunity is going to look like a problem. And I have an acronym that I use, which is PAIN, P-A-I-N. Stands for Problems, Aspirations, Issues, and Needs. Problems, Aspirations, Issues, and Needs. Whenever you find within a segment of society a problem or an aspiration or an issue or a need, then what you have really found is an opportunity to create value in the form of a solution. And where does money come from? Money comes from the value that you create. Where does money come from? It comes from the value that you create. You get money in exchange for value. But the opportunity to create value comes in the form of a problem or an aspiration, an unmet, an unfulfilled aspiration, an issue that's demanding resolution, or a need that must be met. And so entrepreneurs are looking for problems in various sectors and segments of society. You know, in our life coaching strategies, we have something called the Wheel of Life, and it represents the eight facets of a person's life. The wheel is split into eight parts, like a pizza or like spokes in a wheel. And each segment, each of the eight segments represents an aspect of a person's life, and they represent markets. And so we cover everything from your spiritual life to your physical health and well-being, your love life and relationships, your career, your personal finances, your lifestyle. And we start looking at all of these facets of a person's life. Well, what an entrepreneur is looking for is the problem or the pain. What is the problem people face in this area? What are their aspirations? What are their issues that demand resolution? And what are their needs? Because if you can find the problem, then what you've really found is an opportunity. So entrepreneurs are looking for problems, but they don't call them problems. They call them opportunities. Opportunities. If you have an eye for opportunity, it really means that you can see a problem that is begging for a solution. You can see an aspiration that's unmet. You can see a need that demands resolution. You can see or an issue demanding resolution or a need that must be met. And when you can see that, what you're looking at is an opportunity. Second thing that entrepreneurs see and look for that other people do not see or look for is solutions. Solutions. Solutions to those problems. So they're looking for the problem, which they consider an opportunity, but they're also looking for solutions. Now, what do I mean by looking for solutions? Well, there's two types of solutions. There are the solutions that you create, and there are the solutions that you source. You either create a solution or you source a solution. What does that mean? To create a solution means that you are going to create a product or a service that you're going to bring to market in order to solve a problem for a segment of society. That involves you creating a product. It involves you manufacturing. It involves you designing a solution. However, the truth is that solutions have already been created for most of the problems that people face in the world. Solutions have already been created for most of the problems and challenges that businesses face. Solutions have already been created for the problems and challenges that governments face. And I use those three, you know, people, businesses, governments, because when it comes to doing business, you know, you're going to be what we call B2C, business to consumer. In other words, you're going to be servicing the needs of consumers. Or you're going to be B2B, business to business. You're going to be solving problems for businesses. Or you're going to be B2G, solving problems for government. Now, solutions have already been created for most of the problems faced by consumers, by businesses, or by governments. What an entrepreneur is looking for is the right solution. And that doesn't always mean creating the solution. Most of the times, it means sourcing the solution. And so that means looking for products and services that already exist, that are already manufactured, already made, companies that already provide products and services that will plug a gap in a market in another place. So entrepreneurs will tell you that, you know, my supplier is in Taiwan. My sources are in India. My sources and suppliers are in another part of the world. Why? Because they have the eye to look for a source, a supplier, a product, a service, a company, a business that already exists, because they understand that solutions can be sourced. They don't always have to be created. And those people who are obsessed with creating solutions must understand that the creation of a solution requires massive investments, cash investments. It takes money to create a solution. It takes a great idea, but it also takes money. So then you either have to raise that money, attract that investment, which consumes a lot of time just simply, you know, developing the pitch, the proposal, the proposition that will attract investment. And then with that, you need to provide security for the investor. So it's not as easy to create a solution as it is to source a solution. When you source a solution, then the hard work has been done. The money has already been invested. The solution has already been created. The products are manufactured. The services already exist. So entrepreneurs are looking for solutions, hence they see solutions. You know, some folks get on the internet and what they're doing is they're looking for fun. They're looking for entertainment. Entrepreneurs are looking for solutions, and they are typically looking for solutions that have already been created so that they can source those solutions and create the connection. What did I say? Create the connection. Because ultimately, the real solution to the problems that consumers, businesses, and governments face, the real solution is the connection. It is connecting buyers with sellers, connecting sellers with buyers, bridging the gap between buyers and sellers. Now, you know that everyone loves to buy, but no one likes to be sold to. And so you have a gap between those who are producers and those who are consumers of products and services. Well, an entrepreneur says, if I can find a solution and then bridge the gap and make the connection, then I will be the solution. My business, my company, my brand will be a solution because it has found a solution and it's connected that solution with people who are dealing with that specific problem. And so that is the second thing that entrepreneurs look for and see that other people do not look for and see. And the third thing that entrepreneurs look for and see that other people do not is systems. Systems. Entrepreneurs look for and can see systems in ways that other people do not. What do I mean by systems? I'm talking about sustainability. Because if you find a solution, if you source a solution, you've got to make sure that that solution can consistently be brought to market. You've got to make sure that you are able to guarantee the same level of service, the same quality of product, the same quality of service, the same quality of support to every person that becomes a customer or a client of yours. And the only way to guarantee quality is by systematizing your processes. Systematizing your processes. And there are three sorts of systems that entrepreneurs look for and that they can see. Here goes. The first is information management systems. Information management systems. Because as you engage in business, there's going to be lots of information, data about your customers, about their orders, about their inquiries, information about the products or the services that you supply. Relationships have to be managed between yourself and your suppliers, between yourself and your customers and your clients. That's lots of information. Now, if you just keep it in your head, you're going to forget things. So you need a system for collecting, managing, sorting information in such a way that you can run reports. You need to be able to collect, for example, contact information so that you can quickly contact a customer, a client, or a supplier. You're going to need to collect billing information. You need to know how much people have spent or how much they have left to pay. And so that involves information management systems, which typically comes in the form of software. So entrepreneurs are looking for a system that can manage information so they can guarantee quality. The second kind of system that entrepreneurs are looking for is a marketing system. That is a system, a systematic way of continuously appealing to prospects and continuously recruiting new customers. And, you know, marketing is everything that you do to get and keep customers. Getting and keeping customers, you know, requires a process. There may be some advertising. There may be responses to inquiries, presentations, follow-ups. You know, all of these things need to be done in order to reach your customers. Your website, all of these things are part of your marketing system. So An entrepreneur wants to know that there's a system for marketing so that we can set some of this marketing on autopilot and know that the business is being marketed even while we're sleeping, even while we're on holiday. And the third kind of system that an entrepreneur is looking for is a delivery system, so that when orders are made, when people say, yes, I'm ready to buy, that they can be guaranteed that they're going to get what they purchased. They're going to get the product, they're going to get the service, and this is systematized in such a way that we can guarantee that if you part with money, you know, you are going to receive the goods or the services that you've purchased. You're going to receive them on time, and you're going to receive them with some added value. So three types of systems: information management systems, marketing systems, and delivery systems. Now, again, you can create these systems or you can source these systems. I personally like to work with, you know, I personally like the idea of sourcing solutions and sourcing systems, because there's no point reinventing the wheel. Okay? It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money to reinvent a wheel when that wheel has already been created. Someone has already sweat and cried and bled in order to produce the system. So I like opportunities that come with solutions that are already created and systems for managing information, for marketing, and for the delivery of products and services. But this is what entrepreneurs are looking for, because they want to be sustainable. They want to be able to guarantee quality. They want to be able to guarantee service. So the systems are critical. And the fourth thing that entrepreneurs are looking for and that they see that other people do not see is what we call trends. Trends. What do I mean by trends? I mean buying trends, consumer trends, business trends, economic trends, because a trend is like a wave, okay? A trend is the next wave. It tells you where a industry is going and allows you to predict with a degree of certainty what products and what services are going to be in hot demand, not just tomorrow, but for years to come. And so entrepreneurs want to know that whatever opportunity they seize, that it is in a growth industry. It's in a market that's buying and not in a market that's dying. Okay? Now, I can remember when I used to use audio cassette tapes for my sermons and seminars or to listen to music. And every car that I had back then had an audio cassette player. Now, I could easily have gone into the business of audio cassette tapes, but the fact is that technology had changed the game. And that market was dying, okay? That was not a growth industry. That was not the trend. The trend was digital recordings and digital music. So things were moving towards CDs and DVDs. And then ultimately, we moved again towards the MP3 and the digital download. And now everyone has a device in their possession that can play audios and DVDs and act as a telephone and a PDA, and all these things that used to be so separate, they've all merged into one unit. Well, there were people that 5 years ago saw the trend, and they decided that they're going to build a business in a growth industry. They're going to ride the wave of the next wave, and they're going to be in business for many years to come. An entrepreneur wants to know not just that there is a market today, but there's going to be a market tomorrow, and it's going to be an ever-increasing market because these products and services are going to be in demand for many years to come. That's trends. That's growth. That's getting ahead of the curve and positioning yourself in a growth industry. All right, the fifth thing that entrepreneurs see, you're getting a whole lot tonight in this half hour of pure power. These are things I wish I knew years ago before I started out on the entrepreneurial journey. But it's taken years to learn them, and now you get them in half an hour of pure power. How exciting is that? The fifth thing that entrepreneurs look for and see that other people don't look for or see is the numbers. The numbers. I'm talking about profitability. Entrepreneurs are very meticulous when it comes to the numbers. How much exactly is it going to cost to seize this opportunity? What are the startup costs and what are the ongoing or running costs? What is the cost of running this business? What's it going to cost to set up and what is it going to cost to keep going? And they will put that together into some sort of a cash flow to say these are our demands or these are our needs as a business. And then what they want to look at is the potential profits. And they don't want to hyperinflate their profits. They want to work from a worst-case scenario. Because if you can be profitable in the worst-case scenario, then what you have is something that's viable. If you can be profitable in the worst-case scenario, then you have a viable business. So entrepreneurs know what it costs them to set up and run the business, what they can potentially turn over in the business, okay? You know what I mean by turnover? I'm talking about gross revenue, okay? How much money will go through their bank account in the worst-case scenario, and how much profit there will be left over once you subtract your costs from your turnover, okay? Once you subtract your costs. So if it costs you £1 million to start and run the business, and the business only takes in £1 million, then you're not in profits. You're just breaking even. And an entrepreneur goes into business to make profits. And so they crunch the numbers, and they figure out what are the highest value activities, tasks, products, and services. How much exactly am I making in profits by selling this product or this service? And they're very clear about what it's going to take to make the sort of money that they envisaged in the very beginning. These are the eyes of the entrepreneur. This is what entrepreneurs are looking for and seeing that other people are not seeing. So we found some people, you know, in the past who said to me, you know, Bishop, yeah, I'm going into business. I really get the entrepreneur thing. I'm going to do the entrepreneur thing. I found a great product, you know, out of this particular country, and it solves a real problem for these sorts of people, and it comes with a system, and, you know, it's in line with the current trends. And now I'll say to them, okay, tell me about the numbers. And they're not clear. They're not clear about how they're going to be compensated. They're not clear about how much they can make. They're not clear about what it's going to take to make the kind of money that they envisage. Entrepreneurs, authentic entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, look for and see the numbers. Number six, entrepreneurs look for and can see the advantage. The advantage. In other words, they want to see a competitive edge. They understand that they're not going to be the first person to market. They understand that in most cases, alternatives exist for consumers, for businesses, for governments. And these are called competitors. So what they want to know is that if I'm going to go into this business, that I have an advantage. I have something that my competitors do not have. I have something that I can really amplify in my marketing document, in my marketing strategy, that's going to set me apart from the others and give me an advantage. If there's no advantage, then you are competing against all the odds. And then number seven, entrepreneurs look for and see the exit strategy. The exit strategy. You see, an entrepreneur is not trying to create for themselves another job. They're not even trying to be self-employed. They are not trying to create a job. They are trying to create a business system that continues to pay them even after they have stopped working. And so this means that they need an exit strategy, which means at some point I'm going to stop working tactically on this business. And when I stop working tactically on this business, I still want this business to continue paying me. And typically, there's an exit strategy that will involve either selling the company, or it will involve investing the profits of the company into a vehicle that will continue to give them residual income for life, like a pension fund or a pension scheme. Or it may mean taking the company public and then utilizing that money to set up their retirement or the rest of their life. The question is, how long can you maintain your standard of living after you stop working? How long can you maintain the standard of living after you stop working? For many people, their standard of living will fall immediately the same month that they stop working, because they're working from paycheck to paycheck, from month to month. That is typically an employee's mentality. But an entrepreneur wants to know that when I do quit this business, I will have enough revenue, enough assets, enough cash flow to keep me living the same standard of life for the rest of my life. Now, I'm going to start to close it out with this. Because as you know, ICANN Global has partnered with a company in Dallas, a travel agency in Dallas, Paycation Travel. And people have asked me, Bishop Malcolm, why have you partnered with Paycation Travel? It's very simple. It's because I have the eyes of an entrepreneur. Number one, I can see and I look for problems. And I know that the fundamental problem facing the Western world, the so-called developed world, is job insecurity. Job insecurity is a fundamental problem. And we are, you know, no employer can guarantee you a job for life. Multiple streams of income are not an option anymore. They are imperative. You simply cannot survive on a single income from a secure job. And most people, as I predicted years ago, are being forced into some form of self-employment or into running a home-based business. So there is a problem that I can see. There's also a solution that I can see in the home-based business industry. Because the home-based business allows a person to operate, to own and operate a business in their spare time, part-time, from home, without the typical startup expenses that it would cost to set up a traditional business. I can also see that there are systems that come with Paycation Travel, information management systems, marketing systems, and delivery systems, so that you can always guarantee the quality of your offering. I look at trends. We know that travel is an $8 trillion industry set to become a $15 trillion industry over the next decade. That completely dwarfs every other home-based business opportunity. Everything else